Tonight's study is Daniel's 70 weeks, dealing with scriptures from Revelation 11 through 13. In Revelation 11, for the first time, we really see the 1,260 days mentioned, the 3.5 years, the 42 months. The Great Tribulation is 7 years long, divided into two sections. The first half being the peace deal from the Antichrist, then war when Russia comes down with her allies, famine, pestilence comes forth, nuclear fallout. The second half begins the reign of the Antichrist with 666 and his fall.
Revelation 11, verse 2. But do not measure the outer courtyard, for it has been turned over to the nations. They will trample the holy city for 42 months. And I will give power to my two witnesses, and they will be clothed in burlap, and will prophesy during those 1,260 days.
Okay, Revelation 12, verse 6. David, you've got that.
And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she hath a place prepared of God, that they should feed her there, 1,260 days.
Okay, and that score is 1,260 days. Revelation 13, verse, 5?
Then the beast was allowed to speak great blasphemies against God, and he was given authority to do so whenever he wanted for 42 months.
Okay, so we see the terms here now. 42 months, 1,260 days, which is 42 months. 3.5 years, we see. In these chapters, that's what we will look at. 3.5 years, 42 months, 1,260 days. They're all the same thing, except we note here that the month is 30 days. This precedent started in and is clearly shown in Genesis 8 during the flood. So 42 months and 1,260, making 3.5 years, is based on 30-day months. In Genesis 8, we were told that the flood covered the land from the 17th of the second month to the 17th of the seventh month. This would amount to about 147 days of the lunar calendar. Instead, however, this five-month period is said in verses 3 in that area, Genesis 8, to be 150 days. So we see the 30-day month is introduced by Moses in the Torah. And we also see here in Revelation 11, 12, and 13 that the 1,260 days, or the 3.5 years, or the 42 months, is based on a 30-day month. Last study, we dealt with the Jubilee, showing how every 50 years the trumpets blew in Israel on the Day of Atonement. Every 50 years, and Israel and the tribes and people were to go back to their original land and inheritance. This kept Israel free of oligarchies and having a disenfranchised class of disinherited people, while rich landowners grew in wealth and political power. There was to be a real distribution of the wealth by law. No ultra-capitalism or ownership of the land, because ultimately the Lord was in charge and is the God of the land. The law of Jubilee was a total consideration to the poor, the foreigner, the workers in the land. Once Israel quit implementing this law given on Mount Sinai, along with the land Sabbaths, of letting the land rest every 7 years for 1 year, God sent them to the land of Babylon for 70 years to let the land rest. And that's in 2 Chronicles 36, starting in verse 17. He brought up against them the king of the Babylonians, who killed their young men with the sword in the sanctuary and did not spare young man or young woman, and elderly or the infirmed. God gave them all into the hands of Nebuchadnezzar. He carried to Babylon all the articles from the temple of God, both large and small, and the treasures of the Lord's temple, and the treasures of the kings and the officials. They set fire to God's temple and broke down the wall of Jerusalem. They burned all the palaces and destroyed everything of value there. He carried into exile to Babylon the remnant who escaped from the sword, and they became servants to him and his successors until the kingdom of Persia came to power. The land enjoyed its Sabbath rests. All the time of its desolation it rested, until the 70 years were completed in fulfillment of the word of the Lord spoken by Jeremiah. Now, in this first wave, Daniel was a very, very young man. Remember I told you Ezekiel came in the second wave when Nebuchadnezzar brought more? And then the third time he came in, that's when he utterly destroyed everything, the temple, etc. Here's what it says in Jeremiah 25, verse 8. Who's got that? Chris has got Jeremiah 25, verse 8.
And now the Lord of heaven's armies says, because you have not listened to me, I will gather together all the armies of the north under King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon, whom I have appointed as my deputy. I will bring them all against the land and its people and against the surrounding nations. I will completely destroy you and make you an object of horror and contempt and a ruin forever. I will take away your happy singing and laughter. The joyful voices of bridegrooms and brides will no longer be heard. Your milestones will fall silent, and the lights in your homes will go out.
The whole country will become a desolate wasteland, and these nations will serve the king of Babylon for 70 years. That's how that Jeremiah 25, verse 8 ends, when it goes down through 16. So we understand Jeremiah was way older than Daniel. Daniel is going to sit and wonder about this, and this is when he starts to pray in Daniel 9. Tonight we will see when Israel was taken and came back from Babylon, they always were under foreign powers. This time of the Gentiles' political power is being broken in Revelation 11 on the Day of Atonement, bringing in the World Jubilee. And it's the times of the Gentiles is mentioned in Luke 21, verse 24. And David's got that.
And they shall fall by the edge of the sword, and shall be led away captive into all nations. And Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles, until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled.
Okay, good. So the times of the Gentiles begins with Babylon, then Media Persia, then Greece and Rome. Instead of them having land Sabbaths, and Israel having land Sabbaths, and complete return to the land, they were given what is called Daniel's 70 weeks. The 70 weeks are based on years, just like in Leviticus 25. Here's what Leviticus 25 says. Count off seven Sabbath years, seven times 7 years, so that the seven Sabbath years amount to a period of 49 years. Then have the trumpet sounded everywhere on the 10th day of the 7th month, on the Day of Atonement, sound the trumpet throughout your land. Consecrate the 50th year and proclaim liberty throughout the land to all its inhabitants. It shall be a jubilee. Each of you is to return to your family property and to your own clan. So every 50 years, the trumpets blow on the Day of Atonement. In Revelation 11, we see the real Day of Atonement in Jubilee. When we see Christ come and look and see the ark, we also start to hear Christ. He talks about, I will destroy those who destroy the land. He shows himself as not only the Day of Atonement, but he also shows himself as the Feast of Jubilee. And that was last week's study. But there's an interesting thing here. The Hebrew word heped was used in both Leviticus 25 and Daniel 9, showing a week is 7 years. And it only makes sense because the 70 weeks are replacing the land Sabbaths. Remember, Israel now has been taken captive to Babylon. When they come back, they are under foreign powers. There are no land Sabbaths resting every 7 years, and there is no jubilee where the children of Israel are going back to their own properties. The 10 tribes have already been taken captive, you know, way before. Only Judea was basically left in Benjamin when Babylon came in. So these are gone, yet in God's eyes, they're not gone. So he wants these to come back in some kind of a way. So what he does, he replaces the land Sabbaths every 7 years with the land rest 1 year and the Feast of Jubilee with Daniel's 70 weeks. And in the book of Revelation, when he has the real Day of Atonement and the seven trumpets have already blown and the proclamation that the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords is coming in to defeat the Antichrist, to take the land back from the devil, Christ is coming also as the Jubilee. Israel went 70 years and the land Sabbaths happened every 7 years, making a period of 490 years where Israel was responsible for not keeping the land Sabbaths and not letting the land rest for a year every 7 years, or keeping the Jubilee, which happened on every 50 year. And we explained last week how that the Jubilee made Israel go back to its own land, and that if there was a barn built or whatever, they would have to pay for that. But if the father had sold the land, the 50th year, the grandchildren would get the land back. Right? Right, David?
Yep.
So the Feast of Jubilee was a wonderful feast of justice that meant that no one could come in and buy the land from Israel and keep it. So 100 years later, that rich person who had bought several farmers' land, now, instead of him owning, let's say, 100 acres, he owns 1,000 acres. He becomes wealthy, while the people that at once time owned land are now disenfranchised. That was the social law of Israel happening, that God was absolutely against, and he gave that law on Sinai with the Ten Commandments. When we go back 490 years, we come to when Israel quit keeping this law. And it turns out to be when they wanted a king and anointed one. Remember, Israel went into the land with Joshua around 1460 BC. Babylon comes in around 606 BC. So there's close to, you know, like a long time, or close to 1,000 years, 900 and some years. So the 490 years where Israel didn't keep the land rest is the entire period of the kings. Remember the book of Ruth? Remember when Naomi had Ruth in Moab in the famine, and she brought her to Israel, and it had to be sorted out in order for Boaz to marry her? It had to be sorted out. So the law was being kept, and God was trying to keep things in order. Now, I said 490 years. That's approximately the time that Israel had kings. Let's look at the very beginning of it. 1 Samuel 8. Samuel was the last judge. He's considered also a prophet. There are no kings in Israel. When Samuel ruled, he was the first one to ever anoint a king. Before Samuel, there are no kings. The land was to be ruled by the law of God that the Levites were to bring, and that the tabernacle was to expound, and any places of meeting where Levites could teach the law would happen, and the Jews were to appear three times at the various feast days. They were to come for the first three feast days, the Feast of Pentecost, and later the fall feast days. Now here in 1 Samuel 8, we see a change taking place. We see that there's going to be a time of kings coming in. 1 Samuel 8, verse 1, when Samuel grew old, he appointed his sons as Israel's leaders. The name of his firstborn was Joel, and the name of his second was Abijah, and they served at Beersheba. But his sons did not follow his ways. They turned aside after dishonest gain and accepted bribes and perverted justice. So all the elders of Israel gathered around and came to Samuel at Ramah. They said to him, "You are old, and your sons do not follow your ways. Now appoint a king to lead us, such as all the other nations have." But when they said, "God, give us a king to lead us," this displeased Samuel. So he prayed to the Lord, and the Lord told him, "Listen to all that the people are saying to you. It's not you that they have rejected, but they have rejected me as their king. As they have done from the day I brought them out of Egypt until this day, forsaking me and serving other gods." So they are doing to you. This is what they're doing to you, Samuel. "Now listen to them, but warn them solemnly and let them know what the king who will reign over them will claim as his rights." Chris, you've got verse 10 down.
Samuel passed on the Lord's warning to the people who were asking him for a king. "This is how a king will reign over you," Samuel said. "The king will draft your sons and assign them to chariots and his charioteers, making them run before the chariots. Some will be generals and captains in the army. Some will be forced to plow in the fields and harvest his crops. And some will make his weapons and chariot equipment. The king will take the daughters from you and force them to cook, bake, and make perfumes for him. He will take away the best of your fields and vineyards and olive groves and give them to his own officials. He will take a tenth of the grain of your grape harvest and distribute them amongst his officers and attendants. He will take your male and female slaves and demand the finest of your cattle and donkeys and for his own use. He will demand a tenth of your flocks, and you will be his slaves. Then when that day comes, you will beg for relief from this king you are demanding, but the Lord will not help you."
But the people refused to listen to Samuel. "No," they said, "we want a king over us. Then we will be like all the other nations with a king to lead us and go out before us and fight our battles." When Samuel heard all the people said, he repeated it before the Lord. The Lord answered, "Listen to them and give them a king." Then Samuel said to the Israelites, "Everyone go back to your own town." So what happens here is that instead of now having a jubilee every 50 years and a land Sabbath every 7 years, the land Sabbath every 7 years when the land is supposed to rest, now it's not going to rest, right? Every 50 years when there's a jubilee and Israel is supposed to go back to the original property that was allotted to them way back under Joshua in that period of time, that's not going to happen anymore. What are you going to end up with? You're going to end up with lords. You're going to end up with money. You're going to end up with power. And God warns them that the king is going to take a tenth of their cattle, their sheep, that this whole situation is going to be completely wrong. So this 490-year period starts with this first king. And because now they're not keeping the land Sabbath, what I had read in 2 Chronicles 36, there, verse 21, those verses there, what happens now is that God says, "You are going to Babylon. You have never let the land rest for the last 490 years. You have not been given, you're not giving out jubilees. You're not allowing the tribes to go back to their land and have their own places. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to show you that I'm in business." Just like he gave the Ten Commandments, "Thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt have not false idols," on and on. He gave on Sinai the book of Leviticus there in Leviticus 17, 23, those chapters, 25. He gave those chapters on Mount Sinai to make sure that there was always justice in Israel. Every 50 years, if David sold the land that he was allotted, his children get it back. All that's gone. Now who's controlling the fields? You know? Rich people. The state. Saul. You know, Saul, the king. Well, I like that field. People that are agricultural people then that are going out and they want a certain vineyard. Remember how Ahab wanted a certain place there and Jezebel killed somebody to get it? Well, it's that kind of a thing. Somebody's going to go out and say, this is a really good piece of property. Okay, that's the king's. That's now the king's. And then the king can give it to his special people and his servants or people in his army. God never wanted that. So this begins this period of time. It was during the time of the kings, and Israel quit keeping the wonderful justice, mercy, and stability of the land Sabbaths, and it caused them to go to Babylon for 70 years, just like Jeremiah prophesied. Now we see Daniel 9, where the 70 weeks are prophesied by Daniel through God by the angel Gabriel. I'm going to read this whole chapter so that we completely understand it. In the year of Darius, starting in verse 1, all the way through, right through verse 27. In the year of Darius, son of Xerxes, a Mede by descent, who was made ruler over the Babylonian kingdom, in the first year of his reign, Daniel understood from the scriptures, according to the word of the Lord, given to Jeremiah the prophet, just what I read here, that the desolation of Jerusalem would last 70 years. So I turned to the Lord God and pleaded with him in prayer, in petition, in fasting, in sackcloth, and ashes. I prayed to the Lord my God and confessed, Lord, the great and awesome God who keeps his covenant of love with those who love him and keep his commandments, we have sinned and done wrong. We have been wicked and have rebelled. We have turned away from your commandments and laws. We have not listened to your servants, the prophets who spoke in your name to our kings, our princes, our ancestors, and to all the people of the land. You are righteous, but this day we are covered with shame. The people of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem and all Israel, both near and far, in all the countries where you have scattered us because of our unfaithfulness to you, we and our kings, our princes, and ancestors are covered with shame, Lord, because we have sinned against you. The Lord our God is merciful and forgiving. Even though we have rebelled against him, we have not obeyed the word of our God or kept the laws he gave us through his servants, the prophets. All Israel has transgressed your law and turned away, refusing to obey you. Therefore, the curse and sworn judgments written in the law of Moses, the servant of God, have been poured out on us because we have sinned against you. You have fulfilled the word spoken against us and against our rulers by bringing on us great disaster. Under the whole heaven, nothing has been done like what has been done to Jerusalem. Just as it is written in the law of Moses, all this disaster has come on us, yet we have not sought the favor of the Lord our God by turning from our sins and giving attention to your truth. The Lord did not hesitate to bring the disaster to us, for the Lord our God is righteous in everything he does, yet we have not obeyed him. Now, Lord our God, who brought your people out of Egypt with a mighty hand and who made for yourself a name that endures to this day, we have sinned, we have done wrong. Lord, in keeping with all your righteous acts, turn away your anger and your wrath from Jerusalem, your city, your holy hill. Our sins and the iniquities of our ancestors have made Jerusalem and your people an object of scorn to all those around us. Now, our God, hear the prayers and petitions of your servant. For your sake, Lord, look with favor on your desolate sanctuary. Give ear, our God, and hear. Open our eyes and see the desolation of the city that bears your name. We do not make requests of you because we are righteous, but because of your great mercy. Lord, listen. Lord, forgive. Lord, hear. For your sake, my God, do not delay, because your city and your people bear your name. Daniel was fasting. He was deep in prayer. These words are written down as he prays for Jerusalem, Judah, and Israel. While I was speaking and praying, confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel, and making my request to the Lord my God of his holy hill, while I still was in prayer, Gabriel, an angel that I had seen in the early vision, came to me in the swift flight above the time of the evening sacrifice. He instructed me and said to me, Daniel, I have now come to give you insight and understanding. As soon as you began to pray, a word went out, which I have come to tell you, for you are highly esteemed. Therefore, consider the word and understand the vision. 77s are prescribed for your people and your holy city to finish transgression, to put an end to sin, to atone for wickedness, to bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal up the vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy place. So the 77s are a total of 490 years. Verse 25 says, no one understand this. From the time the word goes out to restore and rebuild Jerusalem until the anointed one, the ruler, comes, there will be seven sevens and 62 sevens. We know that's 69 of these 70th weeks, a total of 483 years. Seven, the first 49 years, dealing with the building of Jerusalem. It says it will be rebuilt with streets and a trench, but in times of trouble. After the 62 sevens, which is following these seven first weeks, the anointed one will be put to death and have nothing. That is the 69th week. And then we get into the very last week, the 70th week. But before that, it continues on and says, the people of the ruler who will come will destroy the city and the sanctuary. So after the 69th week, Titus comes and he destroys the city of Jerusalem and the temple. The weeks stop. And now we come to the 70th week, which will start after the church age. So we see Christ is put to death at the 69th week, at the very end of it. Some will say that it's when he came in on Palm Sunday riding on a donkey, fulfilling Zechariah's prophecy. He dies after that, we know, in the time of the Passover lambs being killed. Then 38 years later, we know Titus comes and destroys the city of Jerusalem. But the 69th week ends with Christ's death being cut off and the Jews being blinded as a nation, as a religion. That's the reason why they're going and having their temple destroyed in 70 AD and will not have their eyes opened again until the 70th week, which has been split away from the other weeks by the church age, by the times of the Gentiles, in relationship to the fullness of the Gentiles coming in to Christ. Certainly some Israeli Jewish people come in, but it's not like the entire nation has had their eyes opened, that their Messiah truly was Jesus Christ. And they will see on that Day of Atonement and that Jubilee that happens in Revelation that Christ is their Messiah. He came as the priest, but now he comes as the king and as the Jubilee to take the land back away from the devil and all oppressive powers. So the 70th week is to come, and we're going to read that here. Daniel 9, verse 27. He will confirm a covenant with many for 1 week, 1 7-year period. In the middle of the seven, in the middle of these 7 years, he will put an end to sacrifice and offering. And at the temple, he will set up an abomination that causes desolation until the end is decreed and it's poured out upon him. So there are 70 weeks. The first week was to start with the command to build the walls. The idiom of a week of years was common in Israel as a Sabbath for the land. Remember I said about the word heped? How it was used there in Leviticus 25? For the every 49 years when there was a jubilee, the word heped is used there for these seven-year periods, the 50th year. It was their failure to obey these laws that led God setting them into captivity under the Babylonians. The Hebrew word heped is used both in Leviticus 25 for the seven-year Sanballat and for Daniel's 70 weeks in Daniel 9, making every week 7 years. We already covered the month being 30 days in the book of Revelation, so we must conclude if the 70th week is based on a 30-day month, so are all the rest of the years in Daniel's 70 weeks, which every week being a 7-year period based on a 30-day month. The prophecy begins by stating that 6 things will be accomplished regarding the Jewish people during a period of 490 years. Finish the transgression, make an end of sin, make atonement for iniquity, bring in everlasting righteousness, seal up vision and prophecy, anoint the most holy. The first week of years begins with the command to build the city of Jerusalem under a Persian ruler. And do you have that, Chris? Nehemiah 2, yep. Starting in verse 1.
Early the following spring, in the month of Nisan, during the 20th year of King Artaxerxes' reign, I was serving the king his wine. I had never before appeared sad in his presence. So the king asked me, "Why are you looking so sad? You don't look sick to me. You must be deeply troubled." Then I was terrified, but I replied, "Long live the king. How can I not be sad? For the city where my ancestors were buried is in ruins, and the gates have been destroyed by fire." The king asked, "Well, how can I help you? With the prayer to the God of heaven?" I replied, "If it please the king, and if you pleased with me, your servant, send me to Judea and to rebuild the city where my ancestors were buried." The king, with the queen sitting beside him, asked, "How long will you be gone, and when will you return?" After I told him how long I would return and be gone, the king agreed to my request.
Okay. I also said to him, "If it pleases the king, may I have letters to the governors of Trans-Euphrates so that they will provide me safe conduct until I arrive in Judah." So it says it. And then, "May I have a letter to Asphath, keeper of the royal park, so he will give me timber to make beams for the gates in the citadel by the temple for the city wall and residence I will occupy. And because of the gracious hand of my God was on me, the king granted my request." Now this request, part of Artaxerxes' rule, and certain of his artifacts and dates and things are in that London Royal Museum of Archaeology. And people have said that the commandment to restore and build Jerusalem was given by Artaxerxes Longimanus around March 13th in that area, either in 444 or 445 BC. Remember, the book of Nehemiah comes after Ezra. Ezra is the book where the second temple is being built. Nehemiah is the book where structures around the temple, walls, roads, and things are being built. And when Gabriel told Daniel, "When will the first week start?" he let him know that at the command to build the walls, that you can go forth. Well, this was taken and given a real command and parchment and paper and the rest of it. And some of it is supposedly in this London Museum of History. So we see, if we take a look, it's easy. It's pretty easy, right? If we take a look at from right around 443 or 440 BC, and you know it goes 444, 443, 442, all the way down, and then starts up again, 1 AD, or Common Era, and goes back up to what we have today. Like we're right now in the year 2017. But you would bring it, that 2017, right back to zero, and then there would be a one-year gap, and then you'd get into BC, right? And you'd go all the way up to 2000 BC, 4000 BC, whatever it might be. So if you take the time when this command was given, and you take 483 years, you come right in to 3233 AD. You come right in to the time of Christ being crucified. How accurate is that? And it's there in every single solitary Bible. It goes 7 weeks of building the city, building the walls, building things, 62 weeks from there to the cutting off of the Messiah, it says there in Daniel 9, 25 and 26, right? So you've got the first 483 years. Now, I've given this study before. This study is one of the known studies across the world. It's on the internet. You can find 1,000 different teachers who will bring similar kind of things. Not everybody knows for sure the exact kind of a date that Artaxerxes was given it. It could have been one day or another day, right? But the reality is, it is pretty well known that from the time the command to start to build these walls, it comes right off to when Christ died. Some say it comes right when Christ came out of the temple, when he came out of the temple over to the Mount of Olives, and he never again entered into the temple. The 62 weeks follow the initial seven. So verse 26, with events after the 69th week, but before the 70th. These events include the Messiah being killed, the city and sanctuary being destroyed. So when the Messiah, up to when the Messiah is killed, 173,880 days from the time of the commandment to build the walls, or 483 years, leaving a 7-year period left because God split the last week away to deal with Israel again and fulfill his promises to them. Colossians 1, verse 25 says, "The mystery that has been hidden for ages and generations, but is now disclosed to the Lord's people. To them, God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory." Christ dies. He gets his triumphal entry into Jerusalem. The Jews are blinded at this time. And David will be reading this scripture in just a couple of minutes here. But Colossians here, Paul says, it was hidden. Remember, I've told you about the mountains? There's a great big mountain, and then there's another big mountain behind it. And the prophets seen all kinds of prophecy, but they didn't see the valley between the two mountains. What is that? The church age. The menorah of the church age. The seven-branch candlestick with the oil of the Holy Spirit, which is Christ, Gethsemane, which means crushed oil, crushed olive oil. The entire Mount of Olives literally just means crushed olive oil. It means the anointed olive oil, the anointing oil. It's all got to do with Jesus Christ, every single bit of it. So here, there's another week left. But instead of it coming in juxtaposed right after the 69th week, God stops the clock for the Jews. Remember we preached in Matthew 27? The curtain was torn, but what wasn't behind the curtain anyway? The ark wasn't there. The Jews admit that Jeremiah hid the ark and it never came back to the second temple. We know that it had to be hidden under you know, the place of the skull. It had to be under Golgotha, where Jeremiah had hid it, in Jeremiah's grotto area, where King Solomon had made many caves, and that the blood of Christ touched that ark when he died. During that earthquake, when that blood flowed down, it touched that ark of that mercy seat. So when Christ died and he goes, it is finished, the temple curtain is rent. And then there are people coming out of their graves at the resurrection, going into the holy city and testifying. And yet what happens is there's no ark there. Because remember what I taught. Moses prayed the prayer on Mount Sinai. God, you know, don't take them, don't kill them. And he got the second tablets 80 or 40 days on the mountain the second time. And the Bible says that he put them in on the Day of Atonement. That's what the Orthodox Jew teaches. So in Revelation 11, when they see the ark, they also get the Jubilee, because this whole feast day is being completely fulfilled. But they also are in the midst of Daniel's 70th week. It's absolutely beautiful. Israel is blinded as a nation during the church age and lost Jerusalem in 70 AD. They are again awakened in Revelation on the real Day of Atonement and Jubilee. And then now we've got Luke 19:41-44, David.
And when he was come near, he beheld the city and wept over it, saying, if thou hast known, even thou, at least in this thy day, the things which belong unto thy peace, but now they are hid from thine eyes. For the day shall come upon thee that thine enemies shall cast a trench about thee, and compass thee round, and keep thee in on every side, and shall lay thee even with the ground, and thy children within thee, and they shall not leave in thee one stone upon another, because thou knowest not the time of thy visitation.
And this is the exact time, right after, that Christ had left on the donkey. He had come in on the donkey on Palm Sunday. Hosanna on the highest, Lord King! And someone said to him, they're calling you king. And he said, if they don't call me king and Hosanna, that even the stones would cry out. And then he comes out of the temple, out of that eastern gate, over toward the Mount of Olives. He gives his famous discourse of Matthew 24. And this is when he wept over the city and then says, not a stone's going to be left on your temple because you're blinded. And that's what he actually says. It says, they will dash you to the ground, you and your children with your walls, and they will not leave one stone on another because you did not recognize the time of God's coming to you. What are they? Blinded. But because of Moses prayed, they're given the Day of Atonement in the book of Revelation. When God said to Moses, I'll make you a great nation, and Moses said, no, remember the promises you made to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Remember that they'll laugh at you in Egypt and say you brought them out to this wilderness to kill you. And God changes his wrath. And he makes a way for Israel to be saved as a nation. But he does it all the way into the Day of Atonement, when he comes as the Jubilee and the King of Kings. And here we're understanding that we are in the middle of the week in Revelation 11 and 12. That the 1260 days, remember, the prophets prophesied, the two anointed olive branches, trees, prophesied 1260 days before the seventh trumpet, during the sixth trumpet. That means that they go all the way back, that when the church was taken out, and they go up higher in Revelation 4 and 5, then the two olive trees are there, Moses and Elijah. Now they're killed by the Antichrist, so the seventh trumpet brings in the second 3.5 years. And what did Daniel say? What were the exact words that Daniel wrote from the angel? In the midst of the week. The seven angel sounds his trumpet. There were loud voices in heaven. The kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of the Messiah, and he will reign forever and ever. That's in Revelation 11. God is talking now as the king, as the eternal one, as the Jubilee. What did the Jubilee do? It took the land back and gave it to the original people. That's what Christ is going to do in this great tribulation. But who does he have to bound first? Who does he have to bind? The devil. And he already defeated him, it says in Luke 4. Ah, this is given to me. Jesus comes back and he reads the Day of Atonement, and he stops in the middle of verse 2 when it says the Day of Vengeance, because he was there in the flesh, but he's also going to be there as the eternal king in Revelation 11, right? And he also says there in verse 18 in Revelation 11, they that destroy the land will be destroyed, because the land Sabbaths were rest for the land. It was all the agricultural laws of Israel for the earthworms and for the animals and for every creature that was under heaven that was there that was supposed to feed on those fields, right? Man has not kept it. What has he basically done? He's created global warming. He's melting his ice things. He's got storms. He's got garbage dumps in the ocean. He's got all kinds of species going extinct. He's taking away his Amazon forests. He's ruining the earth with his more and more so-called civilization. And he's not sharing it. So God is showing that they that destroy the earth should be destroyed. So it's part of the land Sabbaths as well. It's the Jubilee. Christ coming back and saying, okay, you're getting your land back, Comanche. You're getting your land back, Iroquois, you're getting your land back to all kinds of various tribes. He brings the populations down, the wars take things down, nations come down, walls come down, and he restores the agriculture. It is just amazing how the 70 weeks work with the feast days and the furniture showing the intricacy of Scripture. This prediction could only come from God. Matthew 24, 15. It says literally that Jesus said, and when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, then let them which be in Judea flee. Right? That's the exact, almost verbatim quote that it says there in Matthew 24, 15. What does Daniel say when the abomination of a desolation appears? What does Daniel call it? In verse 26, verse 27, in that area, the midst of the week. So God's accuracy with the 70 weeks, with the feast days, with the furniture, is bringing in and showing that in the middle of the 70th week, the Antichrist will start to come into that Jewish temple and give his number 666. We understand Christ is the Jubilee, taking now the possession of the land back from the devil and all of those that have parted with him, bringing every false religion, every false institution, every ism, every ideology that stands up against the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, and his love and his justice. The second half of the Great Tribulation has a Jewish nation having their eyes open to Jesus Christ as their Messiah. King of Kings, Lord of Lords, the Day of Atonement he is, the Jubilee taking the land back from the devil and those in league with him. Daniel's 70 weeks is the 7-year Great Tribulation period and will start after the Feast of Trumpets when the catching of the way of the church happens. The days of awe for the Jews, the understanding they've got to get ready for the Day of Atonement. Daniel's 70 weeks takes place from 11, Revelation 6, through Revelation 19, and the throwing and the binding of the devil in the bottomless pit, bringing in the 1,000 years of peace, or the millennial period. Praise God. Let's recap quickly. The beginning of the weeks starts when the command is given to start to build the walls. That's when Gabriel said that will be that first seven-year period. He said a seven-year period. Many think that he did this to distinguish the command that Ezra was given in the book of Ezra to help build the temple, so that he goes into this period of time. The 69 weeks bring 483 years, brings us right into 32 AD, 33 AD, right at that very time that Christ died, when you take the days based on these 30-day months, right? Christ is cut off. Christ, the Messiah, is cut off. Some will say that the word for king was used, and that's why they think that it ended when Christ came out of the temple, when they laid the palms down and called him king, but that it was actually a rejection because they never really did. They crucified him right after that. When those Pharisees heard that, when those Sadducees and the high priests, the priests, heard that, Hosanna in the highest! Hosanna in the highest! And Jesus didn't stop him because he's fulfilling the book of Zechariah when it said your king will come in on a donkey. Christ never stopped them from saying those words, right? He comes right out. And he said, your house is left unto you desolate. You didn't see this time of my coming. And in Matthew 23, the last two verses, he says that you will not see me again until you say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. And in Revelation, they see the ark. Revelation 11, they see the Day of Atonement. They see the ark. They see the Jubilee. God starts talking about the eternal land and the eternal kingdom. They're seeing the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. The seven trumpets have blown for Jubilee. The seven trumpets have blown for coronation. The seven trumpets have blown on the Day of Atonement. There it is. The Jews now are a nation under God, though two-thirds of them are killed in this tribulation, according to Zechariah. And we'll be reading that. But now, for the first time, they're not just a splinter group. They accept him as the Day of Atonement. They see that Jesus was their Messiah, that he had come as the priest to give the blood sacrifice. Now they're understanding Daniel 70th week, because when Jesus says it in verse 15, when you see the abomination of desolation in Matthew 24, verse 15, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken by Daniel the prophet, I have a Schofield in the index you can have cross-referencing. Guess where verse 15 will take you in Matthew 24? Right smack to Daniel 9:27. Right? Now, there in 26 where it talks about, and the prince will come, you know, that's the destruction of Jerusalem in 70 AD. Then in verse 27, that's when the Messiah comes to Israel, or I should say the Antichrist comes to Israel, but in the middle of it all, God is opening their eyes to the fact that he is their Messiah, that he was the one that came in Bethlehem, that he was the one who preached. They're going to have that renewal, and the Antichrist is going to be defeated because he has to be, along with every false religion, every false ism, every political system, every false institution that's been in league with the devil, all the iniquity that has never shared the land, all the iniquity that has disenfranchised people and taken people away, that has caused all kinds of mental illness. They've created so many problems. How does somebody who has got health care have a house taken away from them? All that evil and all that iniquity has got to be brought down, because Christ is the liberator as the Feast of Jubilee. So the 70 weeks, the midst of the week in the 27th verse tells us right out that the 70 weeks are in two periods, one 3.5-year period and one 3.5-year period, the second part. That the Antichrist does not give 666 until the second half of the tribulation. The first part of the tribulation starts in Revelation 6. We get the false peace. The Antichrist makes everything seem all right. He gets the new temple going. Then Russia comes in, breaks this whole covenant with Iran, Turkey, and these African nations, Libya and the Sudan area. The Antichrist starts certain kinds of battles and the wars come forth, and we see the great earthquake in Revelation 6. A fourth of the people are killed. Revelation 7, the Jews are sealed. More white robe martyrs die. Revelation 8, we see the great meteor or comet come in to the ocean. Revelation 9, we get the two woes. We get the five men want to be dead for, you know, they want to die, but they can't because they're suffering so bad in those 5 years, 5 months, I should say. And then the second part, the angel pours, you know, the angel, the four angels pour over the Euphrates River, and all those millions and millions of people died. And the Bible says another third die. Revelation 10 works hand in hand with Revelation 11, telling us that the two prophets are going to write and that some kind of book is going to be there for this millennial period. And then the second part of Revelation, the first part of Revelation 11, then deals with the two prophets going backwards, showing how that they preached the first 3.5 years of the tribulation. The two prophets are killed during the sixth trumpet, showing they go back all the way back to the church age. Right after the church age, they come in to preach. Also, the two woes, the first two woes, take place during the sixth trumpet. Now we start to come in Revelation 11, verse 15, to the seventh trumpet. At the same time the ark appears, God shows Israel that he is the Day of Atonement, that he is the Jubilee. The seventh trumpet proclaims the king. The seventh trumpet proclaims the day of Jubilee and the Day of Atonement there. The seventh trumpet proclaims that God Almighty is now started his everlasting kingdom, because Israel will never, ever, ever again have a diaspora, a diaspora, or they'll never be scattered again. So all of this happens here in Revelation 11, 12, and 13. And a lot of it isn't happenings on earth. They're happenings in the sense that God is consolidating his word and showing us what it means. Understand what I'm saying? He's speaking in heaven. The ark is in heaven. But there is an earthquake, and we believe totally that the earthquakes in Revelation 11 will open up the Judean hills, so that mountains there, so that Israel will be able to get in to an area of protection. The 70 weeks is the 7-year great tribulation. It's all there for you to study. Whose Father? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.